Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, September 18th, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. That potential still exists where Enki buried it, deep in human DNA. Enki knew that the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, a miraculous gift of Source, which was his delight, and the greatest fear of many other Anunnaki, cannot be oppressed forever. Where better to express the resurrection and actualization of this potential than in New Eridu?
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for deciding to spend your Saturday evening in New Eridu. This week has been kind of an interesting one for me because I went from a high to a low. I've been kind of in a slump all summer long, and I don't know if it's the time or if it's me or if it's a combination of things. I know I've been restaging myself a lot. After I quit my job in April and went out on my own, there was a lot of adjustments that I had to make to my business model and things like that to get the ball rolling there, and also adjustments to my scale of economies, shall we say, because I didn't really have the income anymore. So there was a lot of distractions for getting launched, but I think it was a little more than that. I think there was some spiritual things going on with me also. And this week it kind of came to a head. I got into contact with the group that is called the LOE, which is the Anunnaki version of Ascended Masters. And they don't just talk to anybody as far as I can tell. At least that's what I'm told. So obviously I'm a special case to them, and I think that might be, after this week, I think that might be in the category of special ed, but you never know. Anyway, so that was big, and all of a sudden things started popping. My business started picking up. I started getting people coming in the door, wanting my services, wanting to buy stuff from me, and had all these leads, and nothing happened. And it's like, what did I do wrong? How did I go from golden to, you know, nobody's even returning my calls? I didn't do anything. And I felt, you know, kind of depressed about that. And I actually was in despair at one point because I've been trying to do some of the old work that I used to do. I did documentation and web design and things like that. And I was trying to do something that I've done for 25 years, and I couldn't do it. And it wasn't that I didn't know what to do. It was a matter of the brain cells don't work that way anymore. And, you know, I don't know what to think about that because I have to still live in the 3D and keep the bills paid and not become homeless and not lose my internet access to do the work that I need to do. But apparently I'm being realigned to where I can't do that anymore. What am I supposed to do? And right about that time, guess what happened? The silence descended. Nobody's answering me. It's not just people not returning my phone calls. Now it's a matter of I'm cut off. Dead silence. That's a spooky thing. I've had it happen before. So I have a little confidence to know that it doesn't necessarily mean something awful. But we're going to talk about that because I know everybody goes through these periods and they just feel like their spiritual practice is derailed. So that's something I want to talk about, and I want you guys to call in when I get done doing a brief outline on this and share your experiences with the silence and with feeling like you've been cut off. I actually do have a caller right now, and I did promise in the chat room that I would take this call. MSL asks a question. I'm going to do that really quick. Were the Anunnaki involved with the Raptoids or Cthulhu? What do they look like? They look like us. The Anunnaki look like us. We are made in their image. Actually, we contain their entire genome. The reptilians, yes, some of the Anunnaki are involved with them. Others of the Anunnaki are not so pleased with them, or the ones that do associate with the reptilians. The Cthulhu, that's a good question. I've been trying to trace that down, and I am not having any luck. As far as I can tell, the closest mention to anything that might be like a Cthulhu-like thing. First of all, Cthulhu, I think, was more or less authorized, at least, by a work of fiction that was written by H.P. Lovecraft. And it was an absolute fiction. Now, he had studied the occult for a long time, so it came off very erudite, very well aligned with occult principle, but it was still fiction. And I actually knew people who were using the Necronomicon, which is also a work of fiction, as a magical text, and that just kind of turned my whole my whole belief system around. Is like, I'm not going to go there. So I went my own way as a result. And he follows up by saying, I heard we were created by the central race, the Wingmakers. That's another thing that is really open to debate. Now, I was reading, my friend of mine sent me a link to the Wingmakers forum, where from 2008 there was a forum post that asserted that some of us, specifically James, was of the line of Enki, and because Enki's mother supposedly was a Wingmaker, that that all that was required was for one person to awaken, and the upshot of that was James was the one. Now, I am in contact with Enki, and Enki doesn't even know for sure who his mother was because of the way that whole thing went down. So as far as we can guess, we think she's Pleiadian. So I'm not even going to go any further in that. I'm going to go ahead and take my caller since I did promise. 301, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi, you're on the air with New Era Do.
Yeah, I just saw your show, and I was actually listening. I wanted to, I read your description. Are you going to speak about that, or are you just speaking about the...
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was waiting for you to comment, speak about that, then I'd have a comment to say in reference to that. I don't know if you were talking about the spiritual path, like, are you just talking about the spiritual path as the steps we take throughout life, or?
The whole thing, nothing is separable. One
right.
Spiritual path encompasses one's entire life and being, at least
right.
In my worldview it does.
Oh, okay. Right. So I wanted to just comment in reference to that. You say, have we lost the path? Are we in exile? When you said in reference to sometimes the heavens roll up and the communication lines all go dead. I just wanted to, give my take on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think sometimes, in reference to that, sometimes, when we get, like, things go blank or we just, there's no communications or, I guess I could say, lost in translation. I think that's just basically a time for us to utilize everything that we have gone through thus far and use it in this, what I guess could be considered trials or tribulations, you know, to see if we have been paying attention to, you know, what we've been experiencing or whatever signs or whatever, whatever we've been getting. I think that's the time for us to show and prove, to see if, you know, we've learned or, you know, if we have taken heed. And really, basically, what they say, what's that saying? You ask for what you get. You know, like if you're constantly asking for something but you're not getting a response, and then you do get responses but you're not paying attention. I think sometimes that's just the time for us to show and prove and to see if we're really, I guess to see if we're really about what we're asking for. Does that make sense?
I agree. It is sometimes a test.
Right.
I agree.
Right. So,
sometimes you have to have that thin silence there.
Right. Yeah, so I was reading it. I was looking, doing an overview of the shows that were airing, and I saw that, and I said, wow, interesting, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we ask for things, whatever we believe in, we ask and think that we're not getting, but, you know, sometimes we do get it, and, you know, we're just caught up in so much, we don't realize that exactly what we ask for is right in front of us. So, you know, sometimes that blankness and that dormancy is just like to say, okay, you're saying next, but at the same time, you know, it's like, yeah, you do have next, but you just, you understand what I'm saying? You're just not really connected, or you're not really about whatever you're claiming you're about. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. And if you'd like
to
hang on.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you'd like to hang on and come back and add to it after I've gone through a little bit,
okay.
You're perfectly welcome to do so. I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute, and I'm going to go ahead and go through my program content, and then
okay.
We'll come back and have a discussion. And I actually have another caller also, and I'll take them after I've done presenting this content. So if you would just listen for a little bit. All right, cool. The first question is silence. What is it? And really, I think all of us have probably experienced it. I think it doesn't matter what spiritual path you're on. There's some time in your life that more than likely you have reached out to the angels, to your God, to your spirit guides, to whomever it is that you turn to in times of support or need or just needing companionship, and they're not there. And you're like, what did I do? It can descend out of nowhere. It's just like one morning you'll wake up and you focus your attention and they're not there. Or perhaps you've been at work and you've been absorbed in the 3D and you come home and you meditate, and all of a sudden, you know, after days and days and days of practicing the same way and having these dialogues and sometimes amazing experiences, nothing. They're gone. Spirit guides don't answer. Your connection to source seems broken. You know, it feels like you've been going along in life and in your spiritual practice, and the wheels fall off. You know, and you're sitting there going, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Sometimes you feel like you're not only stuck, but you feel like you're out in the wilderness, like you've been abandoned. It can really be quite a cold towel in the face. You feel all this self-doubt that comes up. You wonder, have I really been abandoned? Have I been associating with tricksters? Are they pulling something on me? Have I made a mistake? Have I gotten off my path? What if they don't ever come back? Well, I've been through this a number of times where I'm rolling along in my spiritual practice and in my life. And it's never easy. I say rolling along. At least it's showing, you know, steady progress. And all of a sudden, it just cuts off. And there's always that pit of the stomach reaction that, oh, no. It doesn't get any easier over time. But after it's happened a few times and things have come back to normal, you begin to have faith that it will come back to normal. One thing I've learned is that real gods and real spirit guides, and I use the term gods pretty broadly. I'm not talking just about source. I'm also talking about, you know, very ascended beings. They don't dump you. If you do something that they don't like, they may go off for a while, but they come back. And you usually will know what it is that you did. And there's been a few times I thought I did something, and they come back and go, oh, no, it wasn't you. Just we needed the space here, or I was busy and I needed to do something else. It's like, okay. But don't take it too seriously. Because if they are real, they will be back. And if they're not real, guess what? You didn't need them anyway. Now, there's another condition that can sometimes seem like a silence, but it's actually a condition called dryness. And by dryness, I mean like parched, as in desert, where there is no life, there is no water. And that's usually akin to burnout. You've done too much. You've had a long struggle. And you just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, thinking that, you know, through endurance you would pass through whatever this travail was. Dryness always has warning signs. There's always this feeling as you're slogging along of this great effort and this great sacrifice and this great suffering and wondering whether you're going to get through the desert before you dry up and blow away. If you have that feeling, then you're asking to burn out. When you have a state of dryness, you will feel low energy. You will feel exhaustion. You may even feel depression. And all of this may be accompanied by feelings of defeat or failure. Now, dryness, like I said, has warning signs. The silence can sometimes come out of nowhere. Everything's hunky-dory one day, and the next day, nothing. So there's one clue whether or not you're in a state of dryness or whether you're in a silence. And also, silence can come when your energy is high, everything's firing on all cylinders, a lot of growth has been accomplished, you're feeling good about things. You don't feel depressed. You don't feel low energy. And you don't feel defeated or like you're a failure. Dryness differs from silence with one basic thing. It's a sign that you're probably using a right idea, but you're doing it the wrong way. It's a sign that you need to back off and try a different approach. You may possibly even be on the wrong track, but that's not usually the case. When you're on the wrong track, usually life will hand you a lesson, not just a silence or dryness. But But dryness is something you can't ignore. You have to act appropriately to exit that period. And it may be as simple as having faith in yourself. Now, silence has the interesting trait of often coming directly after a major breakthrough where you've learned something new, you're really taking it to a new level. When that happens, you're feeling eager and ready and just, you know, you got your mojo up and you're going for it. So when the silence hits, it's like running into a brick wall. It may be a soft brick wall, but it's still a brick wall because all of a sudden you're cast into doubt. Oftentimes that silence is nothing more than a pause, a Zen moment. They want you to stop for a minute and reflect. And by they, I mean it could be your spirit guides, it could be your God, it could be anything, it could be your higher self. Any of those things can push the silence button. But sometimes you just have to stop, and you have to reflect, and you have to think about what just happened, and you have to decide what your learnings are from these experiences that you've had. You need the break in the action in order to let your wisdom deepen. Now I have a question from the chat room here. It's not actually in the chat room. It's in a private chat, but I'm going to answer it on here. Are you talking about being abandoned by your higher self? Well, sometimes it will feel like that. It is not actual abandonment, but it can feel that way. Your higher self will never abandon you. Can't happen. I had a lifetime where I really screwed things up big time, and my higher self did not abandon me, despite the fact that I made so many mistakes. You know, the life that doesn't make mistakes is a life not lived. You cannot live life to its fullest and not make some mistakes, and some of those mistakes may be doozies. But no, the higher self never abandons us. Now, the things, I want to go very briefly over an outline of some things that I found that work, and then I'm going to go back to my callers. These are things that have worked for me. Because a lot of times, particularly when I know I'm in a period of silence, there are things that I check to see as I'm entering it to find out what I need to do next. A lot of times you have a project going already. Do you stop that project or you keep doing what you were doing? It really depends on things. It depends on, first and foremost, your gut. What is your gut telling you is the right thing to do at this point? It also depends on the level of completion of the project that you have going. If you feel it's complete, it might be a good time to stop, to tie up the last loose ends and move on to something new. Again, just trust your instincts on this. If you're sure you know what to do next when you've reached an end point in a project and you hit a silence, then if you feel like you should, you can start setting up that next phase and maybe even start working on it if you feel you know for sure what to do. Sometimes it's a test, as we were talking about earlier. They want to see if you can pick up the ball and run with it by yourself. They want to test your level of commitment, your level of enthusiasm, and your level of knowledge. Now, who's testing you? Is it your higher self? Is it the entities you may be working with? It could be either. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between those two things. Effectively, if they're on your team, they're a part of you. Of course, at some level, we're all a part of one another. But you know what I mean. We're talking family versus extended family. If you're in an ongoing project, particularly if it's an important one, keep going on it. Just keep doing the things you've been doing. You might not need to get innovative at this point. But you know what you're supposed to do and keep doing it. Sometimes the silence is actually a sign that the universe and your guides and your higher self trust you, that they know that you're going to do what you're supposed to do, and they can back off and let you do it. Sometimes there's a learning experience they want you to have from that separation. Maybe it's just confidence building. Hey, I did this all by myself. I didn't have to have anybody hold my hand as I was going through it. The biggest key on the whole thing is just not to get into the negativity. Relax. Let it happen. Don't dwell on it. Don't nitpick yourself over it. Don't what if it. Trust and continue. It may be a good time to tweak your direction, to shed the old ways of doing things and to start new ones. As I had mentioned earlier, one of the things I ran into was it looks like that one entire phase of my life, I'm talking the work I've done for 25 years, that may be drawing to a close for me. I may not be able to do that work anymore, at least not the way I have been doing it. And I need to figure out what I'm going to replace it with. And I tell you, that was a punch to the gut because I was good. I was really good at that. And now it's like the brain cells just don't even want to cooperate when I try to do it. So, clue, time to change horses. And this silence that I have right now may very well be just to let me do that. No pressure. That's okay. 3D's putting enough pressure on me. I don't need my guides putting pressure on me right now. So, I'm going to go ahead and go back to our callers. So I'm going to bring back 301 first. Hey, 301, did you have anything you wanted to add or any questions you wanted to ask at this point?
No, actually, I was listening to you, and, you know, basically everything you touched on made sense. I'll just listen on. You can come back to me. I'll listen.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and leave your mic open, and and if you have something to chime in, you can. And bringing on caller 603. 603, thank you for calling New Eridu. Did you want to talk or did you just want to listen? I guess they just wanted to listen. Because there was silence. Now, I hate to call you 301. Do you have a name that I could use?
Sure, you can call me Vonda.
Vonda? Have you had the experience of the silence in your spiritual practice?
Oh, yes. Most recently I did. That's why when I saw your show name, I said I have to actually listen to you. Most recently I did, and it confirmed so many things that I've been ignoring or, you know, wanting to be, I can't really say bullheaded, but, you know, sometimes we take that initiative to say, okay, I know what I'm doing, or not that I think this is the right thing, but this is what I want to do. So versus what I should be doing. So I experienced something recently that brought me together, got my full attention in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can say that, yes.
So it sounds like your experience of silence is that of redirection mostly?
Yes, definitely redirection, you know, get my mind right, basically, or come, you know, get it together. Because even though, as you were saying, sometimes the silence is to see if you have, you know, learned, if you're responsible, you know, sometimes give you confidence. But I think that whole confidence stage is, you know, so far back, this is another stage of my life that I needed to improve and mature in, and I was using, you know, whatever I was giving for the wrong things. I wasn't using it for what, you know, anything. It was productive, as you said before, too, as well. You said sometimes you're using it for the wrong things. Yeah, it may be for something productive, but it wasn't necessarily for that. Maybe I could have utilized some of it towards that, but I was putting all of my energy into that. And it wasn't for me to do that, especially not all of my energies. Maybe 25%, but I was using too much energy in something that didn't need all of that energy. Or wasn't supposed to get all that energy, I should say. Yeah.
You know, something I found, and it's true, is that when it comes to energy, you can literally kind of feel whether or not you're going down the right path if you're paying attention to your energy level. Because if you're really in alignment, that energy just keeps coming. And you can work these Mondo long days to get something done if you're really passionate about it. It doesn't seem to hurt you the way that those same long days affect you if you're, let's say, you're in a job that you really don't like or you don't believe in.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Right. But initially my energy was at a level that maintained. It was at a high level that maintained that level. But, you know, for some reason, I don't know if, like I said, I was probably pouring too much or all of it into it, so it just drained me. The direction I was going just, you know, I thought about it lots of times, but I still went in that direction, knowing that maybe, okay, it does need energy, but just not as much. I didn't know how to utilize it. I wasn't smart enough to utilize it accordingly. I just poured everything into, you know, sometimes you pour yourself, and before you know it, you can't even find yourself because you've given all of yourself in addition to what you had, the excess energy. And that can, you know, just lead to destruction or just madness.
Yeah. Now, that sounds a little more like dryness to me.
Okay.
That sounds like you wore yourself out, you burned out.
Right.
You can have those two things actually in combination.
Okay. Yeah.
For example, the experience that I just had, I had a little element of both in there because the silence kind of revealed to me, because it was at the same time that I had an incident that showed me very clearly that I couldn't continue to do the things I had been doing. I had known in my gut when I quit my day job that the reason I was doing it was because I was becoming increasingly unable to do the job.
Okay.
And I still cannot tell you why I can't do it. The brain cells still work. I know what I need to do, but then when I go to try to do it, I just don't seem to be able to. And I don't understand that.
Okay.
But I had to change horses, and it's, you know, here I am with a silence in my life and also an element of dryness because I kind of have a grief process going on that I can't continue to do the thing that I was really good at.
Mm.
So, you know.
Are you saying you were once good at it and now you're not good at it anymore? Is that what it is?
I'm good at it, but I'm so slow now that I just can't do it. It's not something I can do professionally to make money.
Oh,
I still have the talent. It's all still there, but it's like it's on a different level. If I was a computer, There are things that have high priority and things that have low priority. Well, that used to have high priority, and now it has really basement low priority. So it doesn't get the processing cycles.
Maybe it's one of those been there, done that, you know, moving right along. Maybe it's one of those.
Possibly.
You know, because, you know, you kind of like grow and grow and grow, and then after a while it's like, okay, I need to grow and go in a different direction. It's like been there, done that, you know, like junior high school, college. Then you want to become part of the real world. You want to be challenged. You want to, you know, do what your heart desires. You want to, you know, be familiar with self and, you know, what you're about.
Yeah.
What's your reason of purpose?
Well, I find
my thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I find myself in a situation where I'm completely switching gears, because I used to be the technical person. I knew the computers, I knew all of the, you know, software and all of that. I still do, but I find, and I didn't do the human side of it. I didn't do I was not the people person.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, I see, right.
And all of a sudden, I'm doing all of the people person things, and the technical side is withering. It's like the brain cells are getting repurposed.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, because I go back to when my energy level was high. Being a New Yorker, well, being a writer as well, I moved from New York, you know, further south to kind of concentrate on my writing and other things. As a matter of fact, the writing wasn't even the main point. It was another reason why I moved. And I realized my personable self came out more once I made that move to, you know, the D.C. area, the Maryland, you know, DMV area. Another side of myself matured and came out and was developed. Now it's time for me to move back to New York and get back into the industry. I see that the reason for my move was all well, because now I've matured and I've enhanced another side of my being. You know, even though when I was in the industry, I dealt with, you know, actors and entertainers and I talked to them, but it was very straightforward and blunt. I didn't have that. You know, I didn't fancy, you know, I didn't have that whole, how can I say, that beautiful approach. I was just, you know, the producers had me like the person that kept the actors in check. But, you know, I had to develop the whole side for my being, not for what the producers wanted or what that production wanted or what they needed, but for me. So coming
in. Well, that sounds like it kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds kind of, to me, like you had an element of lesson in there. You had a pause, that then pause to reflect, and you had a chance then for the wisdom to deepen, and you learned the lesson, and now you're ready to go back.
Right, definitely. You hit
That's
it right on the
very
tail.
Very good illustration.
Definitely hit it right on the tail. And sometimes you don't even understand why you're pushed, and then you make a move that you don't even expect to make, but it's not that you're making it, but you're being directed and forcing it. It's like, now that it's time for me to move back, I'm being pushed to move back. Like, everything is happening so fast. Like, all my brain keeps telling me is, like, go back to New York, go back to New York. And it's like, I can't function until I get back there. You know, nothing's going to happen until I get back there. So, you know, it's always good. Everything's always a plus.
It sounds like you're on your path. That's awesome.
Definitely. Thank you.
I am happy for you.
Well,
I'm going to interrupt you here at this second right now, because 603 has put their hand back up again, so I think they actually want to talk this time. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them on. 603.
Hi, yeah, one of my
You're
kids was talking to me. Hello.
Oh, that's okay. Hi.
Hi, one of my kids was talking to me, so I wasn't able to talk.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, definitely with what you were saying earlier about the silence, and I think we've all experienced it, no doubt about it, and it is kind of unsettling. It's that's a definite thing.
Yeah, it can be, particularly the first few times that you experience it, or if it comes in conjunction with something else that makes you wonder if you did something wrong. Makes you wonder if you fell off your path. So,
or if there's some other outside interference, or you know, all kinds of things come to mind first.
Yeah, very definitely so. And the reason I did this show was because the situation that I had was, it had every element I could think of the question of, is it a silence or is it a dryness? With the exception of I didn't have the low energy.
Exactly.
So that was kind of a, you know, I've been working a lot of hours and I feel like I'm slogging through quicksand a lot. So I'm wondering to myself, is that a symptom of that, or is that a symptom of the overall change in the way, in the nature of time and beingness? And
yeah, well, I think in one particular time, it was a time of transition, and I was doing some major energy matrix reconfiguration before I moved on to the next step. And I just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, sometimes that does happen, and that happens in the silence. Is
exactly.
The big change can actually come down that way.
Or a transition from one primary guide to a different one.
I've never experienced that.
Yeah, well, I've heard.
I've never had
someone that did that. Someone that I know told me that's what they perceived was their experience.
Huh. That's interesting. I guess that's possible, too. Any large transition like that, there could be a gap. But I'm so freeform on that stuff that, you know, they
right.
come and go all the time. Influences come and go. And,
I mean, right.
you know, who knows? So... have you ever actually experienced that where it really impacted you or changed your life or was a real punch to the gut?
Yeah, it was, especially the first few times it happened. But it's never fun.
Yeah. It's scary, isn't it? When
yes.
it, the first few times it happens.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we know there's a reason for it.
Did I miss anything in my
no, you
list
were pretty
things?
Good. No, you were pretty good. You were pretty good.
Well, throw in if you've got other stuff.
Well, basically, a lot of it is what I said in that the cause can be any number of things. And when you're dealing and used to specific subtle energies or certain things and they're gone and you have no idea why, you know, our natural instinct or ego would be to be confused and all these strange emotions that we, you know, don't know what's up. It's just a normal part of the human condition that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal reaction. Just a matter of, no matter what, we can't lose the trust.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Vonda, have you ever had a scary experience with this? Have you ever experienced it as being a punch to the gut?
Yes, yes. The first few times it happened, yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear
me? Vonda, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a few times I have where, but the confusion for some reason just mentally put me in a maze and I had no choice but to figure my way out. This didn't matter how many walls I ran into. I don't really want to get personal with my experiences, but I'm just going to describe it the best way I can. But, you know, especially if it's a first-time experience and, you know, it's the one thing that brought out the deepest emotion or brought out something that I was pacifying or didn't want to express, it puts you in a place where, okay, here it is, the truth is here, you be honest with yourself and, you know, somehow, way or the other, you find yourself out of it. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, I can't explain it, but... You find it, especially if you want an answer, especially if you don't want to be confused or you know, that whole, you know, that whole emotional trip. You don't want to go through that.
I'm going in the bathroom.
Okay.
Right. Am I not allowed to go in the bathroom?
I'm after you, Kim.
Right.
Sometimes I felt like that sometimes chasing an answer, particularly if I've been on the trail of trying to get an answer, sometimes the very act of chasing the answer can keep me in a period of,
right.
of
yeah.
I would call it on hold because
yeah,
I'm chasing
true.
The wrong thing.
Right. Or you don't need to be chasing it at all sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And that,
sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes the answer is no. Also,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the answer is something so radically different than what
that
you could have imagined.
Right.
Yeah.
I know personally, it's, you know, it's not an acceptance because you accept it. You're like, I don't want this to be what it is, but in all reality, you know that that's what it is. So you try to hold on to something because it appeases you. Maybe it's a comfort zone. Maybe. Not now, or, you know, you try to bring up all these excuses, but it's like, in all essence, you're still going to get knocked upside your head because you're being pigheaded. So, in that
right.
that quiet moment, it's revealed to you, and you have to accept it. It's just something that has to be accepted, especially if it's not good for you, and especially if it's nothing but poison, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you pretty much just got through those by just
accepting it.
Just being quiet and just letting it come, right?
Right.
Going with the
right.
flow?
Pretty much, right, right. Well, I'm Aquarius, so, you know, we go with the flow with everything. But we're kind of funny about what we go with the flow with. But,
yeah.
you know, that's that whole Aquarius laid back, but... Yeah, there's also that side that we can be very intense and very passionate as well, which is scary to me because I've faced it myself going through everything that I went through. You know, I've had to deal with, you know, that side of myself. Because when you don't exercise the side of yourself and it comes, you know, comes to the forefront, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. So it's good because you get to learn all aspects of yourself and know how to use it accordingly for every situation or when it needs to be used for this, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's good because knowing self is more important than anything else. You know, you need to be honest with yourself as well as know self before you can do anything great or, you know, be productive in any other, you know, area of life, et cetera. I mean, that's how I see it.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
That's something that I think we're on a constant path of self-discovery too, because I'm of the opinion that we don't always stay the same person throughout an entire lifetime because
yeah, right.
we're so much bigger than what can be expressed here. We can kind of rotate through our you know, personal options within the scope of a lifetime. So we might go through, you know, 2, 3 or more changes.
Right. Maybe 7, you know, sometimes 20. Depending on how difficult,
yeah.
you know, if you don't want to accept it, you're always going to go left when you need to go right. Then something's going to always
yeah.
put up a, you know, something in front of you and you're like, oh, God, I got to go right. So then you go right, but then you remember, oh, I don't
yeah.
feel like going right, you know. So it's a constant
yeah.
struggle until you finally say, okay, I got it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear. I'm going to pay attention. You know, it's never going to go away. So it's one of those.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got a handle on it.
I don't know. Maybe not. This
well,
this
enough of one.
What's that?
Enough of one.
Yeah, I guess a lot of experiences, you know, a lot of experiences does it. Yeah. But what's the point of having experiences if you can't learn? Because if you don't learn, you're going to just constantly keep going through it. So you might as well just say, all right, I'll learn. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It and these experiences, the silences and the dryness, it's all part of that learning process,
mm-hmm.
as is you know, the active phase is where you think of as being learning, where
right.
you're actually going out and trying new things and
mm-hmm.
and rolling on new stuff. That's just
right.
one of the ways that you learn. Because sometimes you learn by going backwards.
Right.
And
but
sometimes
you have because you have no choice. You have no choice because of stubbornness. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You got that right.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to watch them later.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and start closing up the show at this point. So, in closing, I just want to say that silences, drynesses, and active participation in your learning are all part of the same continuum because they're all part of you and a part of your development and exploration of who you are. And that accepting these things openly and not fighting against them is the way to get through them as quickly as possible and to manifest your fullest potential as quickly and painlessly as possible. Now, it's not always going to be quick and it's not always going to be painless. But going with the flow is a big part of, you know, the phrase let go and let God, that's what that talks about. Sometimes you just have to let go. We were talking about that with the Hopi elders the other day. They had a message, and one of the big parts of the message was letting go and letting the current carry us away. Because sometimes what we're facing is so big, we can't imagine it. But your higher self and your God and your guides, they can see what's ahead. And they know how to steer you through it. And you have to let them. Thank you for attending this show, listening. Vonda, thank you, and everyone else. I'm going to close the show at this time, and the song is Spirit is Flow by Todd Cole.
Spirit is flow, and don't you know? Spirit is flow, and don't you know? Above and down below, given this gift from God above, given freely with His love. Do what I may along the way, and the further I go, the less I know. I'm gonna. And the further I go, the more go, the less I need.